We're doing the Ramban speech for Rosh Hashanah, and the Ramban had begun with a query: how come the Pasuk does not explain what the holiday of Rosh Hashanah is celebrating? And the Ramban said that the Pasuk says that on the seventh month, on the first of the month, you will have a day of rest, a commemoration of blowing shofar, a day of declaring sanctity. And the Ramban said, so let's analyze the Pasuk piecemeal and work our way to the answer. So firstly, he says, why is it called the seventh month? He says, the year begins from Tishrei. But we commemorate the Exodus from Egypt. And one of the ways in which we commemorate it is that we say this is 1 month away from when we left Egypt. This is 2 months away from when we left Egypt. 3 months away from when we left Egypt. When we count the months, what we're really doing is we're saying, how many months is it since we left Egypt? Since that month when we left Egypt. But really, everyone agrees that we go halachically with the understanding that the world was created in Tishrei. And that's why the Pasuk says it is on the seventh month. It means not the seventh month from the beginning of the year, but it is the month which we call seventh because we start counting from that month which is most important to us. Just as we start counting the days of the week from that day that is most important to us. In Hebrew, we don't have names for the days of the week. We say this is day one, two, three, four. We're counting off of that day that's important to us. What does it mean it will be a day of rest? So here the Ramban taught us a fantastic concept that the Torah biblically requires us to rest on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Meaning, one might think that we're only obligated to keep the 39 melachos, the 39 prohibited activities. One must only refrain from doing that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and one has fulfilled his obligations. So then a guy could go into his barn and start turning over the dung all Shabbos long. A guy could say, I'm working within my house, I'll just shift my books from one side of the house to the other. A person could work awful hard on Shabbos and Yom Tov and be in keeping with the 39 prohibited tasks. Along came the Torah and said, Shabbaton, I want you to rest. And here we have a biblical commandment, says the Ramban, to maintain a day of rest, aside from all the rabbinic commandments. The rabbinic commandments were primarily instituted in the period of the Second Temple. The rabbinic institutions revolving around Shabbos were primarily institutions of Ezra and his court. So do you mean to say during the period of the First Temple, people were doing business on Shabbos? People were schlepping around their items within their homes on Shabbos? No, says the Ramban. The Torah prescribes that every Jew must rest on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, and that is the definition of the word Shabbaton. That was the Ramban's chidush on the word Shabbaton, that there is a biblical obligation to rest. Now says the Ramban, we have to explain what does it mean a commemoration of blasts. Katav Rashzal bepirushei Chumash. Rashi in his interpretation of Chumash writes Zichon Teruah Psukei Zikaron, and I think we did this. No one remembers. Rashi writes, it's a reference to. We did this. So the Ramban says that the word zikaron means that our commemoration goes up before Hashem. Someone just moved my marker here. Our commemoration goes up before Hashem. Zichron is a reference to the fact that we are remembered before Hashem. Truah, we have an obligation to blow the shofar. The idea that we are remembered before Hashem is the idea that we're judged on this month. And so the Ramban says, when the Torah calls Rosh Hashanah Zichron Teruah, a day of commemoration, a day of blasting the shofar, the word Zichron means you're remembered today. Today Hashem looks over what you've been doing. So the idea that we're judged is not only indicated in the verse of Tehillim, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'keser yom chageinu, ki chok liYisrael u'mishpat l'Elohei Yaakov. But rather, says the Ramban, the fact that the Torah says on this holiday, Zichron, we are remembered before Hashem, that too is an indication that we are judged on this day. Hashem remembers what we did. So the Ramban says, then we have to understand what is the judgment that happens on this day. We say a person gets judged in the world to come. We say a person gets judged on the awesome judgment day. So what happens on this judgment day? So the Ramban said that the judgment that happens on this day is a judgment about this world. And that's about where we left off. that the Ramban said that all the judgments of Rosh Hashanah, and we say it in our davening, are about the physical world. Will a person be wealthy or poor? Healthy or ill? Will a nation have war or peace? When we speak about the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, we are talking about judging what's going to be in this world. It's all about Olam Hazeh. When we speak about judgment in the world to come, and judgment on the Great Judgment Day, that's talking about things in the world to come. What's being judged right now is not whether a person is righteous or not, whether he'll merit the world to come, but rather what will be his fate in this world. That's what we're talking about in Rosh Hashanah. So the Ramban on that point continues and says, "Ditani b'tkiata de'beirav." We're at the top of page Reish Chaf Gimel. The Medrash says, the Yerushalmi, the Medrash of Rav says the following. It says in the verse, "Ayom tchilat masecha zikaron liyom rishon." This is the day you began your creation, and we commemorate what happened on the first day, the beginning of creation. So the truth is, what the Ramban is quoting is not a Medrash. He's quoting our Musaf. But our Musaf was compiled by Rav. The Musaf which we say on Rosh Hashanah was compiled by the Amora Rav. So it's quoted in the Jerusalem Talmud, and the Ramban does the same thing, as a quote from the Academy of Rav, because it's from the prayer that the Academy of Rav instituted, which is the Musaf prayer that we pray today. And in our prayer we say, this is the day you began creation, this is how we commemorate the original day. We also have the Braisa and the Talmud. If the Jewish people were completely wicked on Rosh Hashanah, and so in heaven they decided they're not going to have a lot of rain that year. And then they repented. So the Gemara says, what do they do in heaven? They say, okay, we can focus the drops of rain to fall exactly at a good place, so that even the minuscule amount of rain will produce a large amount of crops. So in heaven they have the hands, it's in the hands of heaven to define how the decree will play itself out. What do you see? You see that even about rain, even the question of how much rainfall we'll have, that's decided on Rosh Hashanah. We ordinarily say it's on Sukkot, and the Ramban was developing the idea that says in the Jerusalem Talmud, that the decision is on Rosh Hashanah. The verdict, the final decision, what man's life is going to be like is on Yom Kippur. What rain is going to be like is on Sukkot. What crops are going to be like is in Pesach, etc. And the same thing, we have a story that's originally in the Medrash Tana Avos to Rabbi Nosson, and it's quoted in Tractate Brachos. There was once a pious man. It was a year of drought, and he gave a poor man a large donation on the eve of Rosh Hashanah. So he came home, and his wife gave it to him. You know, there's no food in the house. You know, there's a drought out there. How could you give such a donation? So, she's not going to let him sleep at night. She's yelling at him. She's throwing pots and pans at him. What's he going to do? So what does the pious man do? So he went to the graveyard. No one's going to bother him there. He goes to sleep in the graveyard. So the Talmud says he's lying there in the graveyard and he hears two spirits talking to one another. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's that night. And he can't sleep in bed, poor man. So it's a year of a drought, and he hears two spirits talking, and one says to the other, why don't we go around the world and hear what they're going to decree? And the other spirit says, I can't. They buried me in this bed of reeds, and I can't get out. You go and hear what they'll decree and come back and tell me. So the other spirit goes out and comes back and tells her, Shamati machoy hapargod, I heard, I got up to the curtain where we're allowed to go, and I heard from behind the curtain that they decreed, Shekol ha-nizra b'rviyah rishona b'rad malkeoto, that whoever plants the first quarter will be destroyed by a hailstorm that's going to come at the end of the season. So everyone's very hungry. It's a year of a drought. So they're hoping this year there'll be good rain. Most of the people plant the first quarter. This guy, he comes home. He heard the good news. So, okay. He waits. He plants the second quarter. Everyone else's crops are demolished. His crops are successful because they haven't yet hardened when the hail hits. And he's extraordinarily successful. The next year, he doesn't wait for his wife to start yelling. He says, honey, I'm sleeping elsewhere. Goes out to the graveyard, goes to sleep, and listens. Same conversation. One spirit says to the other, let's go out and see what's going to be decreed. The other spirit says, I can't. I'm buried in a bed of reeds. So she says, you tell me, you go out and you tell me. She comes back and says, this year, whoever plants in the second quarter will be destroyed by horrible winds that will come and destroy it. So everyone figures they learned from last year, they learned their lesson. Everyone plants the second quarter. This guy plants the first quarter. His harvest, he harvests it first, he doesn't get harmed. Everyone else's crops are destroyed and he's fine. His wife says, hey buddy, how come you're smarter than everyone else? How come everyone else was knocked out the first quarter last year, second quarter this year, and you do okay? He made a big mistake. He yapped. He told her the secret. So what happens? A short while later, his wife gets into a row with the mother of that spirit that was buried in a bed of reeds. And she bites back and says, Yuan, I'll go show you. Your daughter's buried in a bed of reeds in the graveyard. The next year, he goes and lies down at the cemetery.
Hey, what does his wife do?
His wife says to the mother of that spirit that was buried in a bed of reeds, she says to her, she gives her a low blow. She says, I could go show you. Your daughter's buried in a bed of reeds.
So why would she do that?
I don't know why. But the next year he goes there, Rosh Hashanah, goes to sleep in the graveyard, and hears one spirit say to the other, let's go out. Let's go see what's happening. And the other one says to her, let's not talk, because whatever we discuss, other people have been listening. So that's the story in Avos Rabbi Nosson. That's the story in the Gemara, and the Gemara brings it for a larger discussion about what do the deceased know about what's going on in this world. But at any rate, the Ramban says, from this story, we see that in heaven they were discussing on Rosh Hashanah what rains, what hail, what physical things would be in the world. You see from that Gemara that even the question of the crops and the rains, which we ordinarily assume are being judged on Sukkot, and on Pesach, they were judged on Rosh Hashanah. That fits with the Jerusalem Talmud we quoted earlier. So the Medrash says, why is it, and this is quoted in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, why did the Torah give us a mitzvah on Pesach to bring barley? On Shavuos, bread of wheat. On Pesach, pour water. Because we're judged on Sukkot, water. Because on Sukkot, we're judged about the water. Pesach, about the grains. And Shavuos, about the fruits. So each one has a sacrifice that corresponds to its judgment. Says the Ramban, it means each one has the Gemar Din. The real judgment is on Rosh Hashanah. But the conclusion of the judgment is on Pesach for the grains, Shavuos for the fruits, and Sukkot for the rains. That's the conclusion of the din. Klalo shel davar, Rosh Hashanah yom hadin ul'olam hazeh. The rule you have to know, Rosh Hashanah is when this world, the physical world, gets judged. Shan mitato shel adam yom hadin shelo shu nidon benafsho al oto olam shu olam hanefashot. And when a person dies, that's when he's judged about the world to come. וכול מסב נפרטים לפני ברו יתברך ויתעלה, אם תזכה נפשו לגנן העליון והתחתון, ולאיזו מעלה תזכה ממנו. And then, he's judged what level he's going to get in the world to come, the Garden of Eden, או תתחייב נפשו לגנון ויסורין הרבים, or will his soul have to go through perdition and afflictions, ובאיזה דין תתחייב להיות נידונת בה, and how it will be judged. הרי למדנו, יום הדין, laguf v'yom hadin acher lanefesh. What we've come up with is there's a day of judgment for our body, for the physical world, Rosh Hashanah. There's a day of judgment for our soul, the spiritual world, what's going to be with our soul to come. Meaning judgment is, what will I decree from here on in? Obviously both are judgments over what you did in your past. But one is a decision what will happen to your body, and one is a decision what will happen to your soul. The decision what will happen to your body in this world, well, that's decided every Rosh Hashanah based upon what you did until now. The decision what will happen to your soul, that's decided after you die, whether it'll go to the Garden of Eden or not, that's decided after a person dies, and again, that's based on what he's done in this world. And then the Ramban will continue and say there's another day of judgment, which is a judgment over what will happen to the body and the soul, and that's where we'll have to pick up next time.